Welcome to Malcolm Reed's How to Barbecue Right, a podcast where we talk about barbecue, share recipes, and discuss all things delicious. And now, here's your host, Malcolm and Rochelle Reed.
Hey, welcome back to the How to Barbecue Right podcast. I'm your host, Malcolm Reed, and joined by my lovely, talented wife, Miss Southern Shell. And we got Tyler over back with us on there over on the board. How's it going, guys?
Good. I didn't put my buds in.
You didn't put your, you ain't got your ears on? Well, Shell, while you put your ears on, let me tell you about our show sponsor, Schwenk Grills. Schwenk Grills is a portable 1500 degree cooking machine, y'all. It uses infrared heat, which is perfect for cooking steaks to perfection in as little as 3 minutes. So that's taking a raw piece of perfect ribeye marbled up. 3 minutes, you got a perfect steak. Schwenk Grill cooks just like any fancy 1500 degree grill like they use in those expensive steakhouses like the Denver Palm, Morton's, or even Roost Chris. They're also giving our listeners a special $150 off coupon. All you got to do is use the code HOWTOBBQRIGHT when you check out, and they're going to knock $150 off one of these things. So we're going to have a show link in the description. Check out Schwenk Grills and, you know, cook some steak.
Wank.
SCHWankGrill.com.
What was that? The Desert Palms?
Yeah, Denver Palm.
Denver Palm. I've never heard of that.
Do you know the reason why I threw that in there? It's because when we were going up to cook with Jim Robinson up there,
yeah,
we were, and he had brought some chefs in, and he bought one of those salamanders just like they have at the Denver Palm because he wanted to cook steaks at 1,500 degrees. And so they were in there, and they were asking me about it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Y'all cook all, get that chef to cook all the steaks he thinks he can cook on that thing, and I'm going to cook one the way I cook it, my grill over charcoal, and see who turns out better. He didn't take the challenge, but I know who steaks better. These things are flat cook a steak.
But those guys are from the Denver Palm? Is that what the point of the story is?
No, the grill was that he bought. Oh, okay, there's no telling how much that thing cost.
Yeah. It was like commercial grade.
Yeah. It was like one they actually had in the kitchen of the Denver Palm.
It was taller than me. I remember looking at it.
It was huge. I think they call those salamander grills. And that's basically what these little tabletop versions are. They're a portable version of that you could use at home.
Speaking of new grills, Tyler got a new Primo.
I did. Shout out to Primo Grills coming through with some birthday stuff. They had found out it was my birthday while I was here and kind of surprised me with a Primo Large. So,
man, yeah. Well, have you fired it up yet? Yeah.
Not yet. I got her put together. She's just waiting on getting seasoned. I'm thinking of doing some short ribs for Easter. So.
There you go. We need some picks for the community.
Heck yeah.
Beef short ribs. That's a great Easter recipe.
That is a good one.
We were just trying to think of something different. We don't have that many people we're cooking for this year, so we kind of wanted a brisket, but I didn't want to cook a whole brisket, so I'm going to go beef short rib.
You can serve go wrong it with it. Mashed potatoes and gravy.
I did a recipe on it not too long ago. It's usually so good. No, I did it with the mac and cheese, short rib mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. You going to do that version pretty much?
Probably, yeah. We're thinking about doing mac and cheese and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, if you're cooking Easter, you got to have mac and cheese. The smoked mac and cheese would be fantastic. It's more like mac and cheese casserole. We got on mac and cheese here a week or so ago.
Do you have any suggestions on Tyler for running the Primo?
Man.
He's
watched me cook on it. He knows how easy it is.
Yeah, I got the gist of it just from watching him a few times. I mean, obviously, everybody's got to learn their grill. Like, me and him were talking about it yesterday, and I was asking if you could put wood chunks and stuff like that in the middle to get more smoke flavor and stuff like that. So he was kind of giving me some pointers.
You can definitely use wood. Just don't use too much. It's easy to oversmoke on, you know, because you're chucking the airflow down to keep those temps low.
Mm-hmm.
But I always throw a few smoke. I always scatter some wood out in it, you know, if I'm doing something, I'm smoking.
Those grills kind of want to run hot, correct?
Yeah, naturally. I mean, they want to run a little warmer. But, you can choke it down and make it run for hours at, you know, low.
I'm just trying to figure out what meat to cook to, like, season the grill,
chicken.
I guess.
Yeah, burgers.
Chicken.
I always like to season, like, a grill like that. I like to use burgers. But, I mean, chicken's a good thing. You just don't get much flavor on the grate from
that's
the chicken.
That's true. I was just thinking, chicken's cheap. You can kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get your whole chicken and.
Just do some leg quarters or some legs and just cook them. And just, that's, I mean, the more you cook on it, the better tasting it's going to get. But if you really want it to taste good, just get you some 80-20 Chuck burgers, patty them out, cook you some hamburgers on it.
Right over some hot coals.
Over some hot coals. It don't get much better than just a good old grilled hamburger.
No. especially a simple one. Not a lot of stuff to it, you know, just meat.
You know, my little secret, I've gave it out before. Good old, big old dollop of blue plate per pound in the meat, because it adds that extra little fat to it and lets it, and it stays juicy. It makes a juicy hamburger adding that blue plate.
Yeah, because it's kind of an oil.
It is.
Yeah. It is
turning. Eggs and oil. That's all. Yeah, there ain't no secret to mayonnaise. Since 1927, blue plate's been doing it. Real egg yolks.
They use the real stuff.
And probably vegetable oil. I don't know what kind of oil blue plate uses, but.
It's a good the best, yeah, whatever it is.
A little vinegar, a little salt. That's all you need to make mayonnaise. Is it called mayonnaise if you make it at home, or is it aioli? What's the difference? There's you something to look up for me next time.
Okay. What's the difference between mayonnaise and aioli? I think it's just a fancy way to say mayo.
Yeah, what's so the too. Best? Do they even sell? Like, can you buy aioli? Or is it always in a restaurant?
Kraft had a bottle I saw.
Aioli?
It was like garlic and something aioli. Oh. They had a few different ones.
Yeah, like specialties.
I thought aioli was just like a mayonnaise-infused sauce. So if you're making something with a base of mayonnaise, then it's usually called an aioli. So like a garlic aioli or a chipotle aioli, something like that. You're just going to have mayo and then stuff added to it.
I do that all the time with blue plate. I make aiolis, didn't even know it. Turn them into something else. I made a great one this past weekend. We made some tacos. What was it, Saturday night, I think? Mm-hmm.
It was tacos three ways. We had ground beef for the kids. Charred chicken thighs that were really good. And then the star of the show was a tri-tip?
Yep, tri-tip. I think it was from Heartland Beef. They sent me a care package to try out their beef. I think they're out of Texas. I need to look up some more information, be a little more prepared to talk about them. But they sent me some tri-tips, some ribeyes, and some ground. And as soon as I opened up the pack and so there was three tri-tips in there, I said, oh, we're having tri-tip tacos this week. So it was already froze. So I set it out and let it, you know, thaw out. And man, I reverse seared it. It is so hard to beat tri-tip. I don't know if it's
one of my favorites.
Cause see, we don't get to eat tri-tip very often. It's not like we can go to our grocery store and they're just going to have, you know, tri-tip. We got all the chuck roast you want, but they just don't see tri-tip in our grocery stores.
And when you do, it's really expensive. Yeah.
And so we have to order them. And I've cooked some really good ones. And this one was up there. I mean, it was marbled up as much as Wagyu beef.
I think so, too. I
mean, but I seasoned it with a little grande gringo, a little extra salt and pepper, reverse seared. I didn't marinate it. I just light trimmed it, put it on the side of the Primo, fired it up, stuck me a probe in it, 115, and then I moved it. I took it off and rested
it. How long did it take it to get to 115?
Hour, maybe. Okay. Wasn't long. Hour, because I kept it about 250, 275, something like that. I really didn't pay attention. I just choked it back and had it off the coals. And then I opened that lid up and let those coals get roaring pretty good. And then I had me some grande gringo. I marinated in it was like a citrus herb Kroger marinade for chicken thighs. And then I seasoned them with grande gringo on the grill. I took them out of the marinade, threw them over those coals, and all that oil that was in that marinade was dripping down and making that grill get really hot. And then I seasoned them and then got those thighs where I wanted them and moved them over to the side and then put that tri-tip over those hot coals and seared it. Like I go like two minutes and then check the temp. When I got it to like 124, 125, I pulled it off and I let it all rest probably 30 minutes before, because I had to go make some sauces up for the tacos.
Aioli.
That was where I was getting. I made a Mexican aioli. It was avocado. Some avocado, some blue plate, some sour cream, some lime juice, and some cilantro, and then a little salt and pepper seasoning. But I mashed that avocado up and stirred it up so much. I didn't even run it to a blender. I just did it all with a fork, but I got it to a little consistency.
It was a good ripe avocado. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just made this perfectly creamy, like green aioli.
It was.
What would you call that?
It didn't have like lumps in it like you'd think. It was really
it was smooth. Yeah. It was almost like blending it, but it was a really, really ripe avocado, so it did it really well. It wasn't dark. It was just perfectly, it was perfect.
Other people eating with us were like, what sauce is this? I was like, Malcolm just whipped that up with that avocado and some blue plate.
Man, it was good.
Yeah, so we still have some in the fridge.
Yeah, I ate some on a taco. There's some of that tri-tip left in the fridge, and I threw it on a paper plate, just like 15 seconds, because I don't want it to overcook in the microwave, and then make me a taco and a little of that green sauce and a pickled red onion. Man, you know what makes them? The pickled red onion.
Yeah.
Get that little crunch and that sweetness.
And that like zip.
Yep. It just makes a taco.
So do you have to rest going back to your how you cooked your tri-tip, do you have to rest something when you do a reverse sear?
You don't have to.
Like in between, you know, is what I'm saying.
I just think it makes it a little better because it lets that. So I've taken it up to like 115 internal. Whenever I reverse sear, that's usually if I want to serve something on that medium rare side, I don't take it too far. So it's undercooked at 115. It would probably carry over to rare right there because just resting, it's going to let it creep up to 120. But I don't want it to carry over on the grill. I want to let it carry over. That's why I let it rest. But usually when I say rest, it didn't take 15, 20 minutes. It's not a long rest. It's just off the heat enough to get your grill prepped up. You could go right to searing it, but I think it you risk the danger of it carrying over more. And what I've noticed, if you remember on that tri-tip, it was even. You know, the color was even from edge to edge. You don't get that hard transition where you've seared the outside.
Brown, it's red, gray. Brown.
Yeah. So letting it slow down and so it probably crept up in that 20-minute window while I was cooking the chicken. It probably did creep up to 120. I pulled the probe out at that point. And then it probably started falling back a little bit. So it was probably closer to that 115 or right below it when I put it over there to sear it. But I knew I didn't reach that point on the internal side. I just needed to get some char on the outside.
That's a good tip. So the rest in it does.
I think it makes a little difference, you know. You don't have to, but you know, even when I big batched, done a lot of tri-tips for an event or something, we'll always put them on smoke. Like we've done it on pellet grills all the time, but let them come up to temp where you want them to get them through the first part of the reverse sear and then throw them in a cooler. And you can go a little less than 115 when you're doing this, cause it's a lot of meat. So if you take them, if you're doing 5 to 10 tri-tips, you're cooking them for a big crowd or something, you can cook them to 110. Pan them, foil them, stick them in a dry cooler or a Cambro holding device, and just let them hang out until you're ready to go to the event and cook them. It might be 2 hours later. They'll still be fine, and then you can throw them on some hot coals and sear them, and you're going to get better, even-looking meat across the cut.
I bet it would be delicious.
Oh, because it rests a little bit, yeah. I like doing that as opposed to, because you really do want some live fire action when you're at an event doing something and needs to, you're getting meat out, but you may not want to do the whole cook at that event. So you can just have that first part done.
Or even if you just get it done there and leave it.
It's the same principle as sous vide.
Yeah.
Like when these restaurants, they'll cook that meat in sous vide and hold it and hold it and hold it. Then they'll take it out, probably pat it dry, and then put it on the hot grill to get those sear marks or to make it look right on the outside, because it's ugly when it comes out of that. And these, once you hold a tri-tip or anything cooked, right there below rare, it's not super pretty on the outside. It does need a little extra, hot sear, hot grate action to get the outside to look really good. I mean, it still tastes pretty good because I've smoked them and not even seared them. Just took them on up to 125, 128.
Didn't you do one like range. A brisket?
No, that's brisket a whole, yeah, that's a whole different way. That's a whole different way.
You it just was keep still pretty that. Good.
It was good. It wasn't, it's good, but it's not as good as a rare to medium rare one to me. That's just how I like to eat it.
Tri-tips are kind of one of my favorite cuts.
It is a good,
they're up there.
Yeah,
they're not a ribeye. They have a beefiness that I really like.
It is. It's a richer, intense beef flavor.
Yeah. It's tournament weekend.
It is. Basketball, the NCAA basketball tournament started today, actually. We're recording this on Thursday. I guess there were some play-ins that happened Tuesday, so it's been basketball all week. NIT was going last night. I turned it on there and watched some of that. How far do you think Mississippi State's going to go? Are they going to go past the second round?
Yeah.
All the way. That's what you got winning your bracket, all isn't way. It? Did you do a bracket?
Uh-uh.
I didn't either.
Does Mississippi State have a pretty solid team?
I don't know. That would be a negative.
They upset some people in the SEC conference.
Tournament.
SEC tournament. Yeah.
They made it further than they thought they would in that, so that got them in. With what? Do they have 21 wins?
Don't give me a line. Yeah.
They're in, though.
Basketball's not my
They'll
favorite.
Probably win their first-round match, but I don't know. I think they'll have to play the number two team. If I'm not mistaken, it may be North Carolina who they match up against in the second round. So it'll be an early exit.
Yeah.
Early exit.
I was thinking, what? Hey,
if they win it, you can make it to the tournament and you win a game. That's a solid year.
Heck yeah, especially when you weren't even expecting to make it to the tournament. I was thinking, what's basketball tournament food? Football food is.
Anything like the wings?
Wings.
That's what I would say.
Dips.
Man, I've always wanted to do it. And I know there's a lot of guys out there do. Like, this is holiday to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it starts today. They will have the apps out, placing bets, buddies coming over. I mean, it starts today and carries through the whole weekend. I mean, what's better than that?
That sounds like fun. Yeah.
Because, it's springtime. Baseball hadn't really started. College baseball has. They're well under that season. Probably everybody's in conference.
Yeah, they've already started SEC play, yeah.
But, yeah, college basketball tournament, I don't really care about it most of the year. But come this time is when you start watching basketball to me. I mean, I've watched some games, but I just like the tournament. I like tournament style. It's win or go home, so you get the best.
And it's a little more involved. You're paying more attention.
You know what else is a lot of men do this week, don't you?
snip
action. That's the. Do you know that, Tyler?
Nope.
It's the number one time of year to go ahead and take care of the boys if you need to.
They say that men do it so they can stay at home
and watch basketball. That's right. That's exactly why. You got your frozen peas and you got a cooler beside you.
You could have told me this like a week ago.
It's the number one time of year. I mean, it's probably hard to get an appointment yesterday. You don't want to do it on the Thursday. You want to do it on Wednesday. That way you can take off Friday, Thursday and Friday.
Or just wait till Monday.
I don't do no good Monday.
Does the tournament not go in the week?
Not through the week. It's only the weekend. Yeah, it starts early on Thursday, but then they'll play the next round next week and then the final round the following week.
Okay.
So any procedures you need to get done, that's a good time to do.
Funny.
So you didn't make a bracket at all this year?
I did not. I got invited to a couple. I just, man, I hadn't been, hadn't really. I've
been crazy.
You know what I've been doing?
Turkey hunting.
I got into turkey hunting, and I wish I'm so glad I did. You probably hate it. It's like, great, another something to hunt. But man, it's fun. And I got to shoot my first turkey last weekend.
With Mikey's help.
With Mikey. Mikey called it in, and I smacked him. And I really thought I missed, but I didn't. Turns out he was laying there, dead in a doornail.
Malcolm tells a story on Buck Junkies. If you want to check that out.
But I did cook some wild turkey yesterday. We recorded it, but it's going to be for the Buck Junkies, right, Tyler?
Yes, sir.
It's not a How to Barbecue, right? I did bang bang turkey. I thought that was a.
How did they turn out?
I don't know. I made it. I hope they let me. I guess they can't stop me from using that.
Bang bang turkey.
Yeah, because it's I think that might be a trademark phrase from. A restaurant.
I've seen every restaurant.
Most of them do bang. Boom boom, and I guess boom boom would have applied too. But I did bang bang because I bang banged his head. So that's why. But basically, I made marinated that wild turkey breast. I cut it up into chunks, kind of like turkey nuggets, basically, and marinated.
Like how big? Was it strips?
Bite size? Well, it was various sizes.
Boneless wing size?
Yeah. Boneless wing size. And then I marinated it with some buttermilk hot sauce and a little seasoning, like King Crawl, and let it soak. And then we, set up my little dredge station with my seasoned flour and egg wash, did that to it, put it on a rack so it'd dry, and then fried it up at 350 degrees, and then whipped up my sauce. And that's a simple sauce that is so good.
What is it?
I need to do a recipe on how to barbecue right with it, because it's, blue plate mayonnaise. Start with a cup of that, and then sriracha sauce, and then sweet Thai chili sauce, and then a little honey just to balance it out. And you can season a little if you want, but it really don't need it. And I whip that up, and if the consistency is not right, you just add like a tablespoon of water at a time until you get it to where it's kind of like a creamy wing sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I fried the wild turkey bites, toss them in that and serve it with whatever. If you got a little extra left over, I pour you a little out in a bowl for serving. Then garnished it with a little green onion, and man, they were phenomenal.
I'm a changed man.
Tyler had never had wild turkey.
I was a little scared. I think I've heard people talk about the texture just being so different than a regular turkey. And it was
inky and stuff, yeah.
None of that. It was so good. It was probably like one of the better things. Like, I have a list of the things Malcolm's made that I've tried. It's definitely up there.
Like, did you like it that much?
Yeah, it was really, really good.
It was good.
But, did everybody else get to try it?
Oh, yeah. Jamie took the rest of it home. And they came back from filming some other videos, and they said, this ready to eat? And I was like, yeah. So Mikey, Jamie, Mark, all of them tried it. And it was like, man, it was phenomenal. It was really good.
You could call it.
We kind of come to the conclusion anything you fry like that and toss in the sauce is going to be pretty good. Yeah. Like, you would be hard. I bet I could do some raccoon yeah. possum bites. And y'all would be like, man, these are good. Because, you marinate it in buttermilk, takes all the wild flavor out, and then you season it up and fry it with all that, with the crusty coating on the outside, and then you toss it in a sauce. I mean, as long as you can chew it, you're probably going to think it's pretty good.
So we're going to be okay in the apocalypse as long as we have a fryer and some blue plates. That's it.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
We'll be eating possums.
We'll need chickens. That'll be my thing. I can make it off chickens and blue plate. Because we can get anything else as long as we got some bullets or some traps.
This week you did a recipe on pork loin for Sunday family dinner.
That's just man, I know everybody probably has cooked pork loin or ate it one time. I know growing up it was cheap and it still is cheap.
Oh, we had it constantly.
We had it all the time. A lot of times my mom would cut it up and fry it like pork chops, use it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's mainly the number one way we would eat it. Sometimes she would grill it or we'd bake it or something like that, doing it, like a roast in the oven. But when I started smoking stuff, I always did them on the smoker. And what I loved about pork loin is I can go to Sam's or even Kroger, and they sell the full ones. And when you buy one of those, man, that thing's, it's almost a yard long.
Yeah.
And so you can get so much out of it.
I looked up the price on samsclub.com yesterday, I think, and it was under $20
for the whole pork loin. So you think of how many people you can feed out of that. So this one that I did for the recipe was just a section of a pork loin.
But it was the whole pork loin, not the tenderloin.
Yeah, not the tenderloin, not the little double-packed tenderloin, the whole pork loin.
Those are good,
too. Which is, they're phenomenal, too. But this is like, it sits on, think of the baby back ribs. That's where this pork loin sits, right on, there's two of them on a pig, right on each side of the backbone. And
so is it
it's some of the most, no, it's over. It sits over the ribs. Okay. Yeah, on the top. So actually, when you're eating baby back ribs, they trim them out. That's a little of the pork. That's a little of the loin on top of them.
Loin back.
Yeah, loin backs. That's what they really are. Not baby backs. They're loin back ribs because the loin's on the back of them. So
that's why the St. Louis are so much better.
Because the belly's on the.
Because they got the belly.
Yeah, they got the belly on the back of them. They're belly back ribs. So cooking this pork loin like this is no secret or to it or anything. You basically season it up. You can do whatever you want. I went with the kind of a herby, use my Italian stallion seasoning on the outside. I did like a coating of Dijon mustard for a binder. Yeah, I went with the expensive stuff. Only the best for you, Shell.
How much is a bottle of Grey Poupon?
$4, maybe?
Growing up, I thought it was like...
Oh, the little jar? We never had it.
Yeah, ever.
We're not eating that stuff.
I thought it was so expensive.
Yeah. It was French's all day.
Anyway.
French's Yellow, our store brand. But anyway, so you coated it with a little bit of mustard, cracked salt, cracked black pepper, and then hit it with the herb seasoning, the Italian stallion, got it all on the outside. I did trim it. I trimmed most of the excess fat. I like some fat on my pork loin. If you cook it all off, you're not going to have any extra moisture, and it can turn out dry on you. But if you leave that fat on and you cook it properly, that fat gets a little crispy, on the top surface, and then it just gives it flavor underneath. It's really good. But once I got it seasoned up and everything, I went out, fired up the pellet grill, 275 degrees. I threw some pecan pellets in this cook. You could use whatever you wanted, really. There's no secret. And you could do this on any grill. Just hold it about 250, 275. But I really, if you're going to take one thing away from cooking a pork loin, is get you a probe thermometer or a meter, something you can watch the internal temperature the whole time. Because the worst thing you can do is overcook one. They will get dry on you. Because they don't have a lot of internal fat. It's just really, really good lean meat.
There's really no excuse not to have an internal thermometer at this point.
If you're cooking.
They're everywhere. They're cheap. Yeah.
Get your probe thermometer. I don't care how experienced a cook you are. It'll help your cooking even better. It's a tool that's worth having. And I use a ThermoWorks Dot. You could use, there's all kinds of them.
Those are only $30-$40, and they're one of the best ones.
They run them on sale for $25 every year at some point. If you'll just watch them, you can get, three or four of them and have it taken care of.
But I think you can get them even cheaper than that. I bet Temu's got a few.
They probably do, yeah. I bet you can find them on Temu. But have you ever bought anything off Temu?
No, Michael does.
Yeah, I'm scared to give them my info. I don't even want to know my address.
I hit up Sheen.
I get emails every day. Your Temu order is coming, and it's just phishing emails. I was like, no, this ain't right. I've never ordered anything from them.
It just takes a while for the stuff to come in.
Oh, so do you order from it?
Yeah. and everything I've gotten from there, like I've never gotten scammed yet. I mean, yeah. So
have you got like a miniature weed eater? Or this weed eater sounds great, $15, and it's like Fisher Price.
I've never ordered anything that was too good to be true. Like I've ordered a lot of stuff. Like I play a card game called Magic the Gathering, and so they have tons of like dice and deck boxes and all kinds of stuff like that that is cheaper than you would normally find it, but it's not like, oh, I paid a quarter for this and it came in and
yeah,
it was small.
Well, maybe I need to give them a shot. But once you get that, so let's go back to that pork loin.
Anyway.
Once you get it on the smoker and you got your probe thermometer in there, set it for like 130. And the highest I want it to go is 135-ish. Because
on the pit.
On the pit. Because it's going to carry over. Because to me,
the temp you're shooting for.
Finished out. 140 to 145. Now, there used to be, I think, the USDA or whoever makes recommendations recommended taking it all to 145 minimum. But they have, you know, they have lowered the internal temperature on pork.
They used to have
pork
way higher. It used to be like 160.
Well, for ground meat, it is 165.
Yeah, but I'm saying for
all pork, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's been years ago, but.
Well, they've lowered it. And I, you know, I'm not scared to eat it at 135. It doesn't bother me, but it's going to carry over. So once you watch your probe and it goes off at 135 or, you know, right in that range, get it off the pit. I like to go ahead and wrap it up in some aluminum foil. And the reason why I do this is because it catches the juices. And I like those juices. I'll drizzle that back over the meat when I get it sliced to keep it moist, or put it in the bottom of the dish if I'm going to serve it on the table so there's some moisture in there. It just helps. And it also helps, you know, you got that foil. It's going to hold some heat in. It's going to help it carry over to that 140, 145 range too. And you just leave it sitting on the counter, and you can, I mean, I've rested it as long as 45 minutes to an hour.
You could drop it in a dry cooler.
You could drop it in a dry cooler and hold it even longer. But I would really, really go back and burp that a lot because it can make it carry over further. You just don't want it to go too far. If you see a little pink on pork loin, it's okay. You know, you don't want it to be raw, of course. But if you see a little pink, it's okay.
I don't like a little pink.
And a lot of people, they'll see this because from doing it on a smoker, it will have a smoke ring because we've salted it and we put all this stuff on the outside. That kind of causes that reaction or encourages it. And then it'll draw in some smoke. And so you will have a pink transition often, pink to white, you know. And that's not raw pork. That's just some smoke flavor.
Yeah.
It's just a reaction that happens to the meat. Yeah. And so and that's usually when I go make my side. So with this one, I made some mashed potatoes, just whooped up mashed potatoes, no mixing, just using my hand and a smasher. And then I made some bourbon glazed carrots. When I got those done, I took that pork loin out of the foil, put it on the cutting board, sliced it up. Now, however thick you want to slice, it's fine. If you're, you know, if it's more of a dinner, you might want a thicker piece, like a, you know, 6 to 8 ounce portion. But if you want to make sandwiches out of it, you can slice it thin. I usually go with about a little bigger than a quarter inch. Think of your thumb size. Nah, thumb's too thick.
Pinky?
Yeah. I'm just thinking. So if you say you slice brisket a quarter inch, a little bit bigger than a quarter inch, not full half, but a little bit bigger, because you just want multiple. That way some, you know, a guest or, you know, anybody can get two or three pieces if they want them.
Yeah.
But it makes it, you get a little more tender because it's a little thinner slice and it's juicy. And I think you get, I mean, that's just the way I like to do it. And it stretches it, slicing it like that.
You can go thinner if you're doing it.
You can go thinner if you're doing it, really. Yeah. I'd usually, if I'm going thinner, I'm thinking I'm going to slice some of this when you eat it all. And I'm going to slice it up for sandwiches later because it makes an excellent sandwich, pork loin sandwich.
I think that's better than leftover turkey sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Leftover pork loin's way better than leftover turkey. But that was it. There was nothing to that recipe. It's super simple. Anybody can cook a pork loin. And the only thing you really need to know is when to take it off and, you know, let it rest. That's all. It's about the easiest thing you can cook. Yeah.
And for like $10 or probably less than $10.
You screw them up, go buy another one, do it again. Do it to get it right.
It's a cheap way to feed people and make it look fancy.
Oh, yeah.
We got a roast.
So you could take that. You could take that, slice it, fan it, dress up a platter, garnish it up, have your sides ready to go, and it looks like you've slaved over something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just threw it in the oven and cooked it till it's done or put it on the grill.
You did experiment this time, and it did not go well.
Which one are we talking about?
So you saved the juices for the pork loin.
Oh, to make a sauce to go over it? Yeah,
you
I was going to.
Make like a gravy or a sauce?
I did.
Which is a great idea. Well, you've done it before with beef, but you'd never done it with pork. Mm-hmm.
It did not look good. It did not look appetizing. It tasted all right, but it didn't look like something I wanted to serve over it. It kind of made this.
It coagulated when you added the juice to the pan.
It just, I don't know, man. It was weird. It was like a gray colored sauce. because I'd added some more Dijon mustard to it and, you know, had a little shallot in there sauteed up and some garlic. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And yeah, it did not work out.
As soon as you added the pork juice.
That was a definite failure for me, adding the drippings to that.
But hey, now you know.
Now I know.
You just need regular old gravy.
Regular old gravy or sauce, yeah. Now that it would have been really good with like a red wine sauce or a white wine sauce or something like that.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you were thinking, I guess.
I just didn't have the wine to go with it.
I don't know if the wine would have saved.
You don't think it would have helped?
I don't think those pork juices translated well to us all.
Yeah. Maybe not.
But tell me about your mashed taters. Are you calling them mashed taters, whipped taters?
I call them whoop taters.
Whoop taters.
Whoop them real good. Mashed up whoop taters. So.
You kind of, but they were a little elevated.
Yeah.
They weren't just regular old taters and butter.
Running your meal taters and butter. I mean, I boiled them and I like using the Yukon Golds. I think it makes a better mashed potato. I don't even peel them. I just kind of quarter them up, get them in a pot of water, bring it up to a boil, make sure you got it salted a little bit. Boil them till they're fort tender. Take them out. Reserve a little of that tater water in case you need it. If you put enough butter and sour cream in it, you don't need it. And then take those hot taters and saute up a little bit of shallot and a little bit of garlic. And then had those in the bowl and then added the taters to it and had a stick of butter. And that's usually when I start mashing them. And then when I get them mashed up a little bit, that's when I start adding my other stuff. And I'll add sour cream. Season them with salt and pepper, just something simple. It's not hard. You could use TX or anything or AP or something like that, but just salt and pepper is all you need. And then just keep mashing them and mashing them, mashing them and whooping them and whooping them and whooping them and whooping them just with the old tater masher until they're, you know, light and fluffy. And you could add cheese to it if you wanted to, if you wanted to make them a little cheesy.
But you can't tell that the garlic and the
it's just flavor.
It does.
It just flavors. Every bite has a little flavor. I like to garnish them with a little fresh green onion. I put the white tops of the green or the, I guess that'd be bottoms.
Yeah, the white bottoms.
Yeah, I've cut those up fine and sauteed those with some of the, you know, with some of the shallot, or either just put them in there for a little crisp. It'll give you just a little bit of texture in them. But, you know, I'm not going to say I don't like lumpy taters because I like the taste of potato in it, but I like them too when they're whipped up enough to where it's a smooth, creamy potato. And it goes great with meat. So if you're serving that with pot roast or with a pork loin or even with, you know, fried chicken or something like that, it goes great with it. And you can make a gravy to go with it, like a brown gravy or something like that. I didn't. I made some carrots, something healthy.
So tell me, how about your healthy carrots?
They were just, I bought the organic carrots that still had the green tops on them.
If you want the good looking carrots, you got to go organic.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm just using carrots to chop up, I buy those cheap bags.
Yeah.
And they're all different sizes. But if you buy that little bundle that's got the green tops on it, you pay a little more, but it looks like a fancy carrot from a restaurant. And so I bought those and washed them real good and chopped the green part off, just left a little bit of it for presentation and used my little peeler and cleaned them up a little bit. And then a little olive oil, a little seasoning, threw them in the grill.
What'd you season them with? Just salt, pepper?
Yeah, I think I just hit those with salt. Do you remember what I did, Tyler, on those? Salt and pepper, I think. I don't think I hit them with AP or nothing.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, just salt and pepper over the top. You don't need much on them. And then I took some good old Knob Creek bourbon and mixed it with some brown sugar.
But you threw the carrots on the pit.
Yeah, they need about 20 minutes and usually about 400 degrees.
And that's just the olive oil and salt.
Yeah, olive oil and salt. But you just want to get them to where they're starting to soften up. And then I mixed up this glaze with the brown sugar and a little whiskey and a little bit of honey I think I put in there. And that was about it. Maybe a pinch of like cayenne or something like that just to give it something to make you go, what is that? You know, not to make them spicy, but then stirred that up and it just kind of all melts together. And then I brush that on the carrots and then come back and check them about 5 minutes of kind of roll them around in that and brush them again. You're just brushing them to kind of candy coat them in that bourbon and brown sugar. And the heat really cooks the alcohol off the.
Yeah, you can't taste
it has a caramelly flavor, but it just goes with the sweetness of the brown sugar and a little bit of the honey. And it's a super easy carrot to do. And you know what else is good like that? Sweet potatoes cut up.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same thing with sweet potatoes, and they are phenomenal. Same kind of little glaze.
I thought those whiskey glazed carrots were some of the best carrots I've had.
Yeah, just for something simple.
Yeah, and it was like two steps, you know.
And they're fast to cook. You can do those in the oven. Like, we roast carrots like that. Now, we don't buy the fancy organic ones. We'll just buy some.
We would if it was Easter.
Yeah, for Easter, I
or
would.
Or something, you know.
If I'm feeding, you know, somebody, if it's just us, we'll cook the miniature carrots. I don't care. Carrot pieces.
The little carrots taste different than the big carrots.
They do. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Those are the rejects or something.
That's what I've heard. I've heard they got like some kind of carrot extruder thing where like pieces that wouldn't make a carrot bag. It's like bits and pieces and they can shoot them through this thing and it peels them and makes that shape. So they're all like little log shape.
Yeah.
Perfect size. I mean, carrots ain't naturally like that.
Those aren't baby
carrot nuggets. No, those little carrot nuggets.
But
they have different sizes of those. Like they have the thumb size or the pinky size. Yeah.
And you would think it'd be easier because they're already peeled, ready to go.
They just don't taste as good.
They don't taste as good. So I always take the time to peel them and cut them myself because the flavor is so much better.
Who would have thought we'd have been talking about carrots? Look at us, adulting. Can't all be fat and butter. It can be whiskey and carrots.
Whiskey and carrots. That's how you made them healthy.
That's how I made them healthy. Yeah, the doctor likes those. Whiskey. Everybody says you need a little whiskey flavor.
Malcolm, I think it's a good time for us to pay some bills.
Heck yeah. What are we talking about today? The How to Barbecue Right podcast is brought to you by our friends at Primo Grills. Shell, did you know that Primo is the only ceramic grill made right here in the good old USA?
What? Are you telling me that Primo Grills are proudly crafted here in the USA, ensuring top-notch quality and support for local craftsmanship?
I sure am. Plus, Primo Grill not only delivers mouth-watering flavor, but because of their innovative oval design and superior ceramic construction, Primo Grills also gives you a ton of cooking versatility.
Whether you're smoking low and slow or searing a steak to perfection, Primo Grills gives you the consistent heat distribution for mouth-watering results every time.
What she said, y'all. Y'all visit PrimoGrill.com and check them out.
So last week, or it might have been the week before last, you wanted me to do some research into the GE new indoor smoker.
Yeah, we mentioned that, but I really hadn't checked it out. But first off, let me ask you, how much does this thing cost?
$850.
Well, that's not a bad price.
That's not, that was like, you said that you thought it might be like a built-in appliance, like a oven or a dishwasher, it's not.
So what is it, countertop?
It's a countertop. Sounds right up your alley.
You know I like my countertop gadgets.
It's pretty big, though. It is.
Is it something like toaster oven size or bigger?
It looks like one of those. I mean, it looks like an updated version, but like the big old Ronco rotisserie.
Yeah, yeah. Where you put two chickens in it and spin them.
Yeah. Hold on.
My mama's got the miniature or the regular Ronco.
So it's 20 inches deep and then 16 inches wide and 16 inches high.
That's pretty good size.
It's pretty good size. Yeah. It weighs 45 pounds.
You cook a pork butt in it?
Let me tell you what you can cook. But you also got to give it 4 inches. You can't put anything 4 inches, so it can't be up against the wall 4 inches or any other things beside it.
How's that going to go under cabinet?
I didn't say it was under cabinet. I said it was countertop. I didn't.
So you would have to have an island, basically.
I guess.
Yeah, or a pretty wide cabinet.
So it can, it says it has a small footprint, but large capacity.
Okay.
It can fit 3 racks of ribs if you cut them in half. A brisket cut in half.
Who cuts a brisket in half? Like a separate the flat and point or
I think they mean like
chop it, Joker.
A full chicken.
That's Ronco size.
Up to 40 chicken wings and a 14 pound pork butt.
Well, that's a pretty big butt. You can hold a 14 pound butt.
Yeah. Well, the shape of it is why.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have the shape for a brisket or a, because it's square.
That's right. But it has the height to get. So could you cook a whole turkey in it, you think?
A small one,
if
probably.
If you cook a 14 pound butt, you ought to be able to. There ain't many butts, 14 pounds. That's a monster butt. Most of them, 8 to 10.
So let me tell you about it.
Yeah. Tell me how it works. I'm assuming I have to plug it in to get power to it.
So the hopper holds 2 cups of pellets. And it says it's very efficient.
So it's using a lot of more electric heat than it is pellet heat.
And then it has they call it a waste bin collector. And you've got to make sure you put water in that waste bin collector. And that's where the pellets go and the water suppresses them.
Okay.
So they don't start any fires. So if that water thing goes out, I imagine this thing's going to catch on fire. It's my mind. Anyway. And you select what you're cooking. Like you say, I'm going to cook a brisket. And then you say 14 pounds. And
set it. And forget it. Right? Is that what Ronco used to say?
And you can adjust it, you know, if you want to go temp up, temp down. It has an internal probe that you stick in your meat and it monitors the internal temps. So it has something. The reason it's smokeless, it has an active smoke filtration.
Okay.
It turns real wood pellet smoke into warm air. It's a revolutionary application that converts the smoke before releasing it as warm air. That's all they tell you. Yeah.
And you got some kind of filter in there. It's supposed to be filtering it.
You can't take it outside. You can't use it outside. And you can't hold smoke.
Why can't you use it outside? What if you got an outside covered area screened in? Like smokehouse.
I didn't type that into GE.
You didn't ask. It just says it's not for outdoor use. This is meant for
kitchen outside.
Kitchen only. If you got one of them, Michael would have it up in his bedroom.
Probably.
Trying to smoke chicken nuggets or something. How much does it weigh?
45 pounds.
Okay, that's substantial size. And it's at about $800-$900?
Yeah, $800-$900. So
interesting.
They had one about will you smell it, and now I can't find that.
I need to look at some.
They said that you're not going to see the smoke.
Just turns it into nice, just warm vapor.
It's just going to smell the aromas of a natural cooking.
Okay. You would hate that. Everything in the house smoke.
Yeah, I know. Well, it says you're not going to smell the smoke. You're just going to smell the pork roast.
Yeah, okay. You're going to get the flavors. You're going to smell the meat, just like you would your oven, basically.
Yeah. I kind of want to try it.
Dude, you got sold on all the marketing of it. You're sold on the marketing of it.
Here's the thing.
You would hate.
I think, I don't know if y'all would be allowed to get it, because if it's that big, there's probably no cabinet space to put it away.
That's right.
So, yeah.
You would have to sit out the whole time.
You would hate, that's what I was going to say. You would hate it. Because you're gonna pick it up, move it, and put it in the cabinet every time you use it?
Yeah, that's 50 pounds. That's heavy.
It's like a KitchenAid mixer.
Yeah.
I bet you they don't weigh 50. They're pretty heavy, but I bet you they don't weigh 50.
I bet they weigh 25.
I'm thinking it's like one of the big microwaves grandma had, you know.
Yes.
One of those big beast of a microwaves with the dials you turn on it. Those things are huge. It would take two grown men to take one of those microwaves in. You kept it on its own cart. Did y'all remember when people didn't have microwaves on their cabinets? They were on these microwave carts. That's the way ours was.
That was before my time, I think.
Probably was. They've probably all been digital since you've been born, Tyler.
They were.
We had the old dial-em-up microwaves. It was like the old TV dials where you had to turn it and then set a timer. And those were the ones you did not want to stand in front of. Yeah. They were definitely emitting microwave. Yeah. Somebody with a pacemaker come over, they knock them on the ground, stops their heart.
Why is my hair falling out?
You've been eating them dang good microwave pizzas. Tostinos in the microwave.
We are going to Grand Rapids, Michigan this summer.
Yes, that's going to be exciting. We've got some friends up at the Mitten Barbecue Supply Store in, is it in Grand Rapids? The store, is it right outside of?
Yeah, I think it's still Grand Rapids considered.
Yeah, Grand Rapids area.
Yeah.
But we're going to be there in July. What, do you have an exact date?
I do. July 13th.
July 13th, Grand Rapids, Michigan. So if anybody's in that area and y'all want to come out and say hi and let's talk barbecue.
Mitten Barbecue Supply.
We're going to be there.
I'm not sure the exact times. That is the exact date, but I'm not sure the exact times or the details, but we'll get that as soon as we get it all ironed out. What we do need is some recommendations.
Oh, yeah, for what to do in Grand Rapids while we're there? Yeah.
Where to eat.
Ooh.
Because y'all are going on a fishing trip. And
we're going to go out on Lake Michigan and do some fishing. And then we're going to go Saturday to the store and hang out. And I want to go to the Cabela store. That's on my list today. I think their shop's pretty close to the Cabela's, and then you'd look it up and tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that.
But I think we need like a nice steakhouse, or not super nice, but you know.
Yeah.
A nice steakhouse for one night, and then we need like a beer, hot wing, pizza joint.
What's Grand Rapids known for? Do you know?
Not.
Offhand. That's homework for next time,
Shane.
Okay, yeah. You can tell me all about Grand Rapids when we mention it next week.
And maybe a brunch Sunday spot, you know? That's what we're looking for recommendations. Downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown Grand Rapids. What we do not want is recommendations that involve kayaking, hiking.
I think that's what Grand Rapids is known for.
I know, it is.
For going hiking and kayaking. Might not be my kind of stuff. They have any kind of animals you can hunt.
And every time I'm like, what to do in Grand Rapids? They're like, there's tons of stuff.
Got some great hiking trails.
Yeah. You can rent a bike.
Do I look like a hiker?
That's what my wife would have me doing up there.
Yeah.
Be doing every trail.
I would need to hike.
So anyway, if you, anybody in the community, if y'all have any recommendations, we would
love to hear them.
Love to hear them.
I'm wanting to go to Charleston. I've never been to Charleston. So that's one place I want to go eat at. We were talking about something to do late summer. I don't even know if we have any wholesale partners over in Charleston. I don't know. There's a barbecue shop over there or not. That'd be a good excuse to go. Go visit them.
I mean, but, there's three barbecue joints in Charleston.
Oh, yeah. I want to go to Lewis's.
Rodney Scott.
I want to go to his place.
Twig and Swine.
So that's going to be my, that's the basis of the trip there, to go eat at three barbecue joints.
Go make some content.
But,
yeah.
But I hear Charleston's got some, the food scene there is supposed to be really, really good. And, you know, they got that whole low country thing going on where, you know, you're going to see shrimp and grits, you know, you're going to see some, you know, some crabs, probably some sea crab soup or all that good food.
They're known for sea crabs.
Yeah.
And I love sea crab food.
I do too.
Home Team is another barbecue place.
Okay.
Possibly.
Yeah.
So those,
there's some good ones there.
Yeah. I think the restaurant options are kind of endless in Charleston.
We might have to make that trip.
So if you have any Charleston recommendations for what to do and see.
Shout out the community.
Once again, we do not want to go to a swamp. We do not want to.
You know, you wouldn't do a gator tour?
Oh, I'd totally do a gator tour.
Yeah.
I showed you that one thing. I was like, look, we can rent a kayak and go this.
I know. You're like, I watched the video the other day. These people were inner tubing. I don't know where they were. It must have been Florida or Georgia or South Carolina or somewhere, but they were out there and this alligator swam by them. The kids were hollering. This thing was as long as one of these tables. And all these people were out in this creek with it. It looked like a creek to me. I'm sure it was some kind of river or something. Chill wants me to get a kayak.
It's like supposed to be where they filmed the Notebook. And
oh, I thought you were going to say like Deliverance or something. It's romantic to get out there in a kayak. I can romance you way more ways than that, baby. Not a kayak. One shift of my weight and we're gone. We're in the drink. That's a fact.
So anybody in the community, also, we're looking for possibly Charleston options too.
If it is on water, let's make it at least a pontoon boat. Yeah. Something with some big floats.
What about like an airboat? You good with an airboat?
Oh yeah, I'd ride around on an airboat.
I did that last year. It was awesome.
Did you like, how was that? I've never been on one.
It was crazy. There were so many alligators out there. And then I learned that my wife grew up like swimming in waters like that. And I was like,
where were y'all? In Mississippi?
This was like between, it was in the Everglades. So it was between the Key Largo and Miami.
Yeah.
And it was, they have like a gator, I don't know the exact name, but it's like a gator ranch. And there's like thousands of alligators at this place. We got to see this guy get out there and be like the wannabe Steve Irwin and kind of mess around with some baby alligators. Then some huge alligators. Like he was like out there like moving the alligator and like doing all these tricks and stuff. And I was like, man, this guy's an idiot.
We saw that in Hot Springs, Arkansas, when Michael was just a kid. And I don't even know if this was a legitimate place.
No way it was legitimate.
It was like it was somebody's backyard.
It was a cyclone alligator fence. It was a cyclone fence between me and a 13-foot alligator.
And he was just right
multiples
up against it.
Multiples, too. Yeah.
And the guy got over in there with him, though, and was feeding
And he
him.
Just holler at him and smack him on the head.
And then they had this one, like, room. It was like a cement duck pond thing. And they let the kids get in there, and they gave them like a little cane pole with a piece of fishing line on it and a hook. Or it didn't even have a hook.
It was just a hot dog stuck on the end of a stick.
Yeah, you just put the hot dog on the stick. That's what it was, on the cane pole. And they put the little kids over in there and released these little gators. And they probably weren't 12 inches long. And, man, you should see these little kids get terrified. Like they're, because it's a pond of water in the middle, and there's only like 2 or 3 foot of space on the outside of this pond, and they're pinned in like a playpen thing. And they put them over in there with those gators, and they just flock to them.
No, they come charging towards the kids.
It's like a swarm of them.
Michael dropped his stick.
And it was gone. Yeah, he didn't want that hot dog on the stick no more.
All of a sudden, this came unfun real quick.
The guy that was wrestling at the one we went to, he was talking about, he's like, man, yesterday was arm day. So y'all don't mind me if I'm a little slow today. And I was like, oh, I got my camera out.
That is one job you do not want to be slow at. No. Wrangling alligators. No. Did he have off his digits?
You want to be on your A-game.
Did you notice he have off his digits?
He did, but he was also new. Like he had mentioned that he had just started working there. And I'm like,
what do you think the life expectancy of a gator handler is?
I can't imagine, man.
Maybe much.
Did you happen to see that TikTok of the elephant charging the bus? Did y'all see that? No,
I wouldn't want to have been on that bus, though. Did it turn it over?
Almost.
Really?
It's crazy.
It was like a tour bus in Africa, you know? Yeah. They drive around.
Oh, like one of those safari
big,
bus?
Yeah, like a safari big jeep thing. And that it had two big, that elephant had two big tusks and came charging towards it and like used the tusk to pick up the front end of it.
Oh, my gosh.
I would like to say that. Would you like to do an African safari?
Heck yeah.
That would be a fun trip.
I'd do Africa safari. I would never go to Australia. There's no way, dude.
The
wildlife scares me. And I know we actually have a lot of listeners in Australia.
What scares you there? Like,
I'd love to go to Australia.
Ginormous spiders. Like, have you ever looked up the picture? I don't know, dude. I can't.
Yeah.
They have dangerous snakes too.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably plenty of areas that are awesome. And there's a lot of stuff there that looks really fun to do. But that just scares me.
Koala bears and kangaroos.
Yeah. Kangaroos. Got chlamydia.
Kangaroo. They do.
Kangaroos can be pretty jacked.
Man, I've seen some of them.
We're really getting off of your bit. Yeah.
All right.
I want to do the meat stock in Australia.
Yeah. I would do that with y'all. I would.
It would take like two. That would be a 2-week trip.
Yeah.
It
takes so long to get over there. You got to stay for a while.
Mm-hmm. So I got time for just a few questions from the community.
Well, first off, do we still have our Easter promo going on in the community before we get going on questions and stuff?
That actually just came to a wrap today, but we are planning one for next month. So y'all make sure to head on over to facebook.com/group/H2Q community and join up. And we do giveaways like every month.
Yeah. So there'll be something.
This one,
if you didn't get in on this one, get in on the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one where they got the knife set.
And the
with
knife.
The little magnetic knife board. I love that little magnetic knife board. You see it in the videos back behind me. That's where I keep all my knives.
And you have some really nice knife stands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Blocks. Yeah, blocks.
But I use that one more than anything.
It's so
There's
easy.
Two I use. I've got a Dahlstrom magnetic one like that. That's got like a little rounded up different size pieces of woods with a magnet inside them. And those are great. But they only hold.
It holds a pretty good bit.
It holds 10 knives, I bet.
Yeah.
Because you can magnet to front and back. This one will hold, you know, 5 or 6, pretty easy.
I think 5.
But it's also could be a cookbook stand if you wanted to, like a display or something.
It doesn't have the base.
Oh, it doesn't? Mm-hmm. I thought it did. No, it don't. That's right, because it's just flat. Okay.
Yeah.
Disregard that statement. It won't make a Who needs cookbooks anyway? You got YouTube.
So someone in the community was talking about they smoke, then fry their deviled eggs.
I saw that. What do you think that would be like?
I want to try it. So
you smoke the egg, like raw egg on the smoker. Smoke it till it's hard smoked.
So
it wouldn't be boiled.
Raw egg.
Yeah, in the shell.
Straight out of the fridge or whatever.
Yeah, you just smoke it because, you know, that. And what happens is that eggshell, you don't realize it, but it's a little permeable. So there is some smoke that gets into it. And so when you cook it, you know, then you peel the egg, cut it in half, take out your yolks. And then I'm guessing they must like flour, egg wash, flour, or, you know, breadcrumbs.
Gotcha.
On the outside. So it makes a crust.
Yolk. Yeah.
Yeah. So your yolk's going to be your filling. And so you take that, each half of the egg, the white, and run it through the dredge, get your breadcrumbs on it, deep fry it so it's crispy, mix up, you know, have all your filling mixed up. Spoon or pipe that in the egg, and then probably would he top it with some? It was had some bacon element to it too, and it sounded really good. I want to try that. I've never tried a deviled egg that way, but it sounds really good.
I'd
be down.
Love to. Yeah, we were talking about having a deviled egg contest at work. We never did.
Just can't find somebody to judge. Who would volunteer to judge a deviled egg? I mean, I love deviled eggs. Don't get me wrong.
I'm gonna need you to eat 13 deviled eggs.
Yeah. You'd be done for that day.
It'd wreck your gut.
Take some gas in it. It'd
wreck your gut.
But it does. I mean, they do sound good. And, you know, Easter is probably the number one deviled egg holiday. I know we have them at Thanksgiving, but I don't know if I've had an Easter where we didn't have deviled eggs because of all the people bulling, dying eggs for kids and all that.
Eggs are cheap that time of year.
Eggs are cheap, but I love a good deviled egg. What's your favorite deviled egg?
I kind of like a classic one.
Just regular old blue plate, a little mustard with a little relish.
But pop it with some bacon on top. Maybe a jalapeno, something like that. I like taking a classic one and just elevating it.
Yeah. I've had some really good ones.
What's the best one you've ever had? That one with a strip of Wagyu on top?
Yeah. Porch and Parlor, where they cook the little Wagyu on the rock right at the table. You put it over the deviled egg, and they sprinkle a little of the coarse sea salt right over it, and you just, no. It's good.
I like that.
So someone wanted to know, what's your favorite rub for candied bacon?
Favorite? Probably just the barbecue rub because of the sugar content.
It's sweet.
Yeah,
it's
pretty. It gives it real pretty color. But you know what I do with it? Add extra brown sugar. So I use that in the brown sugar, like the barbecue rub. So you get the paprika, the chili, all those different colors. But then you get that sweetness, and it's got just a touch of heat, but not much. It's not, say, it's salty.
I like to add.
And it's not too salty. So the big thing is, don't use a salty rub when you're making candy bacon, or it'll be so salty. Because you think bacon's already salty, and you don't need any extra salt. And so the barbecue rub doesn't have a lot of salt. Like if I put hot rub on it, it's salty. I've done it. It's too salty. I was trying to go for a spicy candied bacon, so I said, you know what? I'll use the hot rub. And no, it just got it too salty. So if you want extra spice, if you want the spice, add some extra cayenne pepper or some crushed red pepper flakes.
Or some white pepper.
Or some, yeah, to the sugar and the barbecue rub mixture, and it really makes a good one.
Not too long ago, you tried a recipe you saw on, I think it was TikTok, where you put like club crackers with the bacon and maybe some sprinkle on top of the...
Yep, that's all it was. You put some seasoned brown sugar. I like took brown sugar and a little cayenne pepper, and you take the club crackers, or the little kind of rectangle, skinny, buttery crackers.
They're my favorite.
Yeah, those with the little schmear butter, delicious. They can't be good for you. That's got to be like fat boy problem right there. But if you don't like buttered crackers, I don't know if I'd be your friend. But you put that cracker down, a piece of bacon the size of the cracker, and sprinkle that little sugary mixture on top of it and stick them in the oven. You could do it on a pit, too. It just makes a little appetizer cracker.
I thought they were okay.
They're okay.
The texture was off.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's bacon on a cracker. It's not. I'd rather have them individual. I'd rather have the cracker with the butter and then the candied bacon.
Yeah, me too.
It's better that way.
Well, the cracker loses the texture.
The cracker. Because it soaks up the bacon grease, and it does. It's not crunchy as much, and then the bacon's kind of chewy. I mean, it's okay. It wasn't one that I said, oh, I got to do this recipe or come up with another way to do this recipe. It wasn't that good. I have to try stuff I see to see if it's worth doing something.
It looked delicious. I mean, we ate them.
Yeah, we ate them. Didn't throw them away or nothing. It wasn't that bad. There wasn't none left.
Ramey was talking about braised pork shank.
You know, I saw this and it was interesting to me because I don't know if I've ever seen pork shanks for sale in our grocery store.
What is a pork shank?
It's going to be the end of the shoulders, what I'm imagining. You know, like you cut off the arm part of it.
When y'all cook those whole shoulders.
Yeah. The place where the collar is, you know, down there is what we call it. But, I can only imagine they're delicious. Didn't he say he braised it with some wine and apple juice, mm-hmm. like white wine or something like that I saw? And I was like, man, that's a good idea to get, you know, because I've had
some. Because you normally use the red wine.
You know, pig wings come from the shank area. That's why when we were getting those pig wings, but they're already, I think they're fully cooked when you get them and froze, and you get them and you probably warm them back up and glaze them and stuff. But
they're not that good.
Yeah. But I think pork, like, I know how good beef shanks are, and I know pork shanks are really good, like we do. I don't know if it's got to be the same thing as the hock, right?
I'm pulling it up right
ham
now.
Hocks is what I'm thinking. They smoke those and they use them to like flavor red beans and rice, or anytime I'm cooking beans, I like throwing some of those hocks in there and letting them boil and flavor the beans I'm cooking. So it's and the meat of it is really good. So I pick that out, shred it up, and usually add it back to my beans. So basically, that's what you're doing. You're cooking a piece of meat like a hock, and I'm thinking it's probably the same thing.
So a pork shank comes from the front lower leg of the pig.
Yeah.
A ham hock or pork knuckle
is the same.
Is the joint that attaches a pig's foot to its leg.
Okay.
Ham hocks are not to be confused with pig shanks.
Okay, so they're not the same.
They're not the same.
Yeah. One's a wrist and one's a knee down.
Yeah.
or elbow down. That's what I'm thinking.
So pork shanks.
Forearm. You're eating, it's pork forearm.
You're eating pork forearm. They have a high fat content.
And then hocks are the ankles.
Yeah, so I bet they, and they have a rich flavor.
I bet they do.
I'm in.
You're in? Well, anytime you can braise it down like that and it get really tender, like put some smoke on it and then put it in the pan with some braising liquid like that white wine or that apple juice, and then you just cover it with foil and you just cook them till it's wanting to fall off that bone. You can just pick the bone up, shake it, and all the meat's left. As long as it's not like, I wonder if it has a lot of gristle and stuff in it, because the ham hocks do. That's, I guess it's all that cartilage in the ankle area.
I'm going to say no.
The pigs have ankles.
I've never seen a pig ankle.
I'm gonna start calling them pig ankles.
But anyway, we need to start looking out for pork shanks. You can order them.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of places to order them.
I'm gonna start looking because I don't know if I've ever seen them in a grocery store, but maybe I just ain't shopping in the right grocery stores. I've overlooked them.
One question, then I'll let you go.
All right.
Have you ever tried the blue plate sandwich spread?
Yeah, my grannies keep it in the refrigerator.
Like out of green lid.
Yeah. It is not my favorite.
No, yeah. It is delicious.
It's delicious. It really is. Use that instead of Big Mac sauce.
Is that what it is?
It's kind of like that. It's a relishy, you know what? It may be like Thousand Island dressing without the ketchup. Like if you just use the mayonnaise part and relish. No, it has an orange tinge, so it probably does have some ketchup in it. Pull up the ingredients of sandwich bread. You got that Google device right there. But yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a Big Mac sauce, you know, or what's the In-N-Out Burger sauce?
Yeah, monster sauce.
Animal sauce. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like that. It's really too sweet for me.
Yeah, it's like, a sweet.
Yeah. I'm not really big on put sandwich like spreads. Like I don't want my mayonnaises and my mustard's really sweet. You know?
Yeah.
It might work on some applications, but I'm not. I love it.
It's basically mayonnaise with some seasonings and pickles.
Yeah. So what? So the sweet seasoning's pickles. What's making it red, or it doesn't have ketchup?
Mm-mm.
There's no tomato element, or has vinegar about it.
There's a lot of paprika.
Okay, that's where it's getting its color from.
So yeah, paprika. Yeah. It's got some xanthan gum.
Tyler, I'm going to bring you a bottle of it and let you take it home and try it, see what you think. It might be something you love. You never know.
I mean, I love a good Thousand Island on like a Reuben or something like that.
It would work on that.
Yeah, it would work on something like that.
I think it would work on the right thing, on the right, but on a turkey sandwich, it's not the best for.
You definitely don't want to eat a bologna and sandwich spread sandwich like my granny used to want us to eat. I'm like, oh, I ain't eating that. Just give me a regular blue plate. I'll just do meat and bread.
No, she didn't want to put bologna on it, did she?
Yeah.
With sandwich bread?
I loved it. For real.
They just dropped like a Cajun tartar sauce and the other one like creamy.
I'm excited. I hope if we know somebody, get them to send us some samples of that.
I think they are.
We could fry some catfish up and try that right here on the set. Creole tartar sauce. What does it look like? Do you see a picture of it or is this a write up? Spin that around. Okay. Yeah, I'm down.
The creamy cocktail was described to me as kind of like a spicy, kind of like a remoulade sort of, which was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I've never heard of a creamy cocktail either. So it'd be like combining.
That looks good.
Mayonnaise and cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
That looks like stale crackers dip that he puts on a cracker or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got that same look. It doesn't really look like a remoulade because it's almost too red or too orangey. But it looks, I do want to try that. I'm real skeptical. I've never really found a bottled tartar sauce that I think's good.
I agree.
I had rather make my own tartar sauce.
Too easy.
But it is easy. But I don't like putting sweet pickles in it. I like dill pickle relish.
And I like the sweet pickles.
So you liked your tartar sauce sweet?
A little.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of it. That sandwich bread, you could probably make more sauce with it.
Oh, I'd dip some fried shrimp in that sandwich bread.
Yeah, they might be just marketed in that a little. little different.
They need to call it shrimp dip.
Yeah, shrimp dip. Blue plate shrimp dip. Anything fried. Hush puppies would probably be delicious in it.
Shrimp dip was the name of Michael's first swimming lesson class. The shrimp dip.
The class, that was the shrimp dip.
But anyway, Malcolm, that's all I have for you today.
All right. Well, hey, I hope everybody has a great weekend.
This weekend, you're cooking a wild game cook contest.
Wild game cook-off. It's called Bruising Bones?
No.
Bruising.
It's a Bruising Beast. Something like Beast and Bruise.
Something like that. Yes, in Senatobia, Mississippi, down off Main Street. They're going to have a bunch of different breweries there. They'll be doing samples of beers, I think. I think you had to get like buy a card to get the sample. They can't just give it away. But anyway, there's going to be all kinds of stuff there. We're going to be doing a wild game cook-off. So if anybody's in that area comes out there, make sure y'all stop by and see us. We'll be at the Buck Junkie Land Bank tent. And I have no idea where this is at. So y'all,
just bear with me.
First time to do it. We just wild game. And I said, sign us up.
So they'll have live music all day. Yep. It's called the Beast and Brews, March 23rd, this Saturday. They're going to have craft beer, vendors, a mimosa bar.
We're actually going to have the shop they're vending. I think Austin and Will are going to come down and have some stuff set up. So if anybody wants to pick up anything down there, come by and get you some swag. We'll have t-shirts and hats and all that good stuff.
And probably you're going to be passing out some free samples.
I'm going to cook up. So yeah, I've got some of that Gamekeeper Butchery meats I'm going to be cooking up. We're doing all kinds of stuff. We're doing a quail quesadilla.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Back straps.
Well, don't tell everybody what you're doing.
Okay. Oh, shoot. When does this go out?
Friday.
Yeah, the day before that. You don't want your competition.
We're not cooking anything. Yeah, we're cooking coon hush puppies and possum on a stick. Throw out some.
We'll talk about all.
I am doing Bloody Mary and I am doing margaritas. I can say that. We've got dessert. We've got some sides. We've got some fish. We've got fowl. We've
got small
game.
We've got
big game.
Is Mark doing
Mark,
the dessert?
Yeah.
I have an idea what he's doing.
What do you think? If you had to guess.
Mark's championship dessert entry.
It's either going to be. So what do you think the most desserts will be?
Cheesecake.
Or a trifle. Cheesecake or trifle. Or some banana pudding maybe. He's doing.
Creme brulee.
I'm not going to say what he's doing.
Okay.
I'm not going to say. I don't want to give it away. In case anybody's judging, they might be listening tomorrow.
We will talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk all about that next week. But anyway, y'all have a great weekend. Get ready. Start thinking about those Easter dishes, man. Y'all better be shopping this week if you're getting meat. Sam's had racks of lamb today, so I picked up three of them. But,
they did have racks of lamb?
Yeah, they did. Tyler, you want to tell everybody to find us on the community or whatever?
Yeah, if y'all can't head to Senatobia this weekend, head on over to the Let's Get to Cooking community over on Facebook. If you have any questions Easter related or you just want to tell Malcolm something, you might be featured on the podcast, so head on over to facebook.com.
We'd love you. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're good. Gotta always do the spiels. /group/H2Q community, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, we'd love the questions, and we're looking for those recommendations for Grand Rapids, possibly Charleston.
Possibly. All right, y'all. Chill. They find us.
If you'd like to connect with Malcolm, it's HowToBBQRight on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or X. And of course, YouTube. If you'd like to connect with me, it's Miss Southern Shell on Instagram and TikTok.
All right, y'all. Well, I hope everyone has a great weekend. We will see y'all next week. We got home.